live in a nation that seems to want to turn its back on God, but there's a people who are crying out and saying, all I want, I'm not after the blessings, I'm not after the things, I'm after the presence of God. All I want. Because when you get God, you get everything else that you need. All I want is you, Lord. You can seek after things but miss God, but if you seek after God, the things will come. All I want.
Family to Exalting Jesus here on the Now Network. We thank you, we praise you, and we lift you up in this time, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come before you on one accord. Lord, we just give you honor, glory, and praise that we leave this place changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of our minds. In your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sir Ryan.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. We just praise you today. Hallelujah. Thanking you for who you are, God, and that you have made the deposit in our spirits, Lord God. And hallelujah, we are ever grateful. Hallelujah, Lord God, we are ever grateful. Hallelujah, we are ever grateful for you. Hallelujah. You told Abraham, you said to Abraham, I am your great and exceeding reward. Hallelujah. So, Lord God, you are the reward. Hallelujah. And we just praise you right now and say thank you, Father, that we can have your spirit on the inside of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Nothing else matters, Lord God. Hallelujah. Abraham was rich in silver and gold and cattle and sheep, but you told him that you are the reward. So, Father God, just being able to draw from the well of salvation, the living waters of life on the inside, Lord God, that is the greatest thing we could ever ask for. That is the greatest thing we could ever have, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we will not waste our life chasing vanity, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you right now. I praise you, Father God, and I ask right now, hallelujah, Holy Spirit, I just make my request made known that you would sit upon us, rest upon those that hear this word on today, Lord God, and hallelujah. Take over, oh God, take over these vocal cords. Take over these airwaves, Lord God. Let it be heard far and wide, Lord God, that you will get the glory. Hallelujah. And we won't take any of your glory, Lord God, but we'll just bask in your presence and your glory. And we'll say thank you that you decided to stop by and check on us, Father God, and to see about us. We thank you in advance for your visitation, Lord God, the lingering glory, hallelujah, of your presence, Father God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God, let your presence fill, hallelujah, our homes, wherever we are. We might be in the hospital listening to this. Somebody might be in their car listening to this, or in their living room, or in their basement. But Father God, wherever, Lord God, there's no boundaries to the Holy Ghost. He can go anywhere he pleases, and we loose you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We bind the enemy. We bind satanic forces that stop the people from hearing the word of God and from experiencing the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You said whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And we loose the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We bind the enemy right now. We bind his activity. We bind the mind games and the distractions right now, and come against deafness of that people can't hear. Hallelujah. And I say, he that hath ears to hear, use them and hear what the Spirit saith on today. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you right now for healing. Thank you for meeting the needs, Lord God, for those that are listening or will listen, Lord God. Hallelujah. Those that don't even hear this, but Lord, the Spirit knows where they are and who they are. And you hear it, Lord God, and you will send your word and you will heal them. In the name that is above every name, the only name worth exalting, Jesus Christ, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk to you about being loosed for a purpose. I said being loosed for a purpose. I'm going to be honest. I'm a teacher. I'm not much one that like to hoop, holler, and preach, but I feel, hallelujah, I feel like preaching today. So if I get a little loud and wild, y'all just follow and hear what the Lord will say through me. Hallelujah. I've been preaching this word to myself today. Hallelujah. The word of God says in 2 Timothy 2 and 6 that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. That means if God give you something to say, he's going to give it to you first. Hallelujah. You got to live what you got to live what you preach. You got to eat what you plant. You got to be the first partaker. So I've been preaching this to myself today. If don't nobody else get preached happy, I'm already happy. If don't nobody else get preached holy, I'm already holy by the word of God. He says you are cleansed through the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today I want to just go a few places. Give me a moment to get my notes in order. I'm going to try to use some notes. I'm going to try to teach, but if he take over, we're just going to thank God. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just bear with me a moment to get these notes in order. Hallelujah. So, loosed for a purpose. Loosed for a purpose. Sometimes we find ourselves bound, just bound. Let's just call it what it is. You can be bound up by people. You can be bound up in your mind. You can be bound up by life circumstances. You can be bound up by the devil. You can be bound up by church tradition and religion and hypocrisy. You can be bound up by a lot of stuff. But God has already instructed. He says, I don't want my people bound. Hallelujah. God told us through Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, in Galatians, he's writing to the Galatian church, and he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. What is the yoke? The yoke is something that binds you to something else. You know, when you buy a six-pack of sodas, it's got the little binder rings, and it binds all of the sodas together in one little bundle. But in order to get the drink that you need to get, you got to unbind it so that you can tip it over and pour it out. You got to unbind it to get it to you for its purpose. You got to loose it for its purpose. Hallelujah. And God's going to loose some people today. Hallelujah. In this season, God's going to loose some people. And I'm going to tell you how God's going to do it. Hallelujah. God's going to loose through the anointing. Hallelujah. There's an anointing that God wants to give each and every one that is under the sound of my voice today. There's an anointing. Hallelujah. a real anointing. Hallelujah. Many times we don't recognize the anointing. Hallelujah. You see, King David was anointed to be king before he ever stepped foot in the palace. He's out there killing giants and fighting the Philistines and fighting the Amalekites and all the different surrounding armies before he ever stepped foot on in the palace. Before he ever sat on the throne, he had to get out there and fight and wrestle. But he was already anointed. Hallelujah. Some of us don't recognize the anointing. That's a dangerous place to be. Hallelujah. We don't recognize the anointing. We try to pinpoint the anointing by what we know instead of what God's Spirit is saying. He that got ears, hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing is not about how loud you are or the tune. Now, he got a sound. He'll bring a sound in. Hallelujah. But he can be present even in silent moments. There's different demonstrations of the anointing. I'm going to get back on that in a little while. But David was an anointed warrior before he became king. And I spoke on this a little bit last week. Abigail, who later became his wife, she recognized his anointing, that the anointing of God on this man's life. Her husband was a fool. He couldn't recognize it. All he could recognize is Saul is the king, but who's this David? You know, and he cursed David. And we know the story. He ends up dying later on. His wife ends up saving his life the first time around, but he still ends up dying because he was a fool. Fools don't recognize what the hand of God is, but a wise person, a humble person can see what God is doing. Hallelujah. They can hear the subtlety of the anointing. Hallelujah. So Abigail recognized, and later on she became the wife of the king. She recognized the anointing. Sometimes we don't recognize the Spirit of God, and we've got to be careful. But anyways, there's an anointing that God wants to release on the people of God. Hallelujah. And this anointing ain't going to be blocked. The devil, you can't bind God. Let me tell you something. You can't bind God, but you can quench him. The Bible says, quench not the Holy Ghost. Quench not the Holy Spirit. That means he give you something to say, something to release. You better release it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we often want to do is hold on to God's stuff. But God says it's time to release. Hallelujah. When God put fire down in your belly, you've got to release it. Hallelujah. And anointing. Now, I want to talk to you about being loose for a purpose. Loose for a purpose. Go with me in the Word of God. And you can start at about, Luke 19, verse 30. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied. He's tied up, wherein yet never man sat. Hallelujah. Loose him and bring him hither. Hallelujah. A colt is a donkey, or it's like a donkey, okay? A colt. In some translations, it's called an ass. But this animal, he's also known as a beast of burden. They're wild animals. He's tied up. Nobody's ever sat on him. That means he hadn't been broken in. He's got a wild nature. This is the type of animal that's got a wild nature. But God says, because I got need for this, he don't need to even be broken. I can't ride on something that anybody else has set upon. Some of you listening today, you can't do it the way somebody else did it. You got to follow the instructions of the Holy Ghost. This is why some people's life is difficult. This is why you don't understand your way. This is why you can't figure out what God is doing in your life at this season, because God is saying, I'm not going to let you follow the pattern of man. No man has set upon this colt. He says, look, loose him and bring him hither. And he goes on to tell them, if anybody asks you, what are you doing? He says, tell them the Lord have need of it. Don't you know the Lord have need of some people today? Hallelujah. The Lord has need of the gifts that he's put in you. The Lord has need of your mouthpiece. The Lord has need of your talents. The Lord has need of your heart, of everything you are. The Lord has need of it. Not he needs you. He has need of you. In other words, it's necessary for you to get where he's calling you to. Hallelujah. Because there's a world of people that you may be the only voice they hear. The only Christ that they see is inside of you. Hallelujah. So he says, never a man sat upon this. You can find the same thing he tells them in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 2. He says the same thing. He says, go over to the village over against you. And he tells them, you're going to find a colt tied up wherein no man ever sat. He says, loose him and bring him to me. He says, he tells them that again in Matthew chapter 21, I believe it is, around verse 2. And he tells them the same thing. This is an important thing, but it's, and he's telling them the same story in each one of them recorded. You can tell the importance of an event in the scriptures because it's recorded by each one of some things you find only in Matthew, or only in Mark, or only in Luke. That means that was their take on the event. That was their perspective. But then some things you find each one of them wrote the same story, but they got a little different twist each time. So in Matthew, he says, hey, he says, look, you'll find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now he's saying loose them. Hallelujah. So this is a not just a one person message. God has need of you if you are hearing me today. If you are a Christian, a born again believer, and you know God, this is not a time to sit on your gifts. This is not a time to be caught up in traditions of men and can't hear God. The devil is a liar. Open your ears today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to get loosed for a purpose. Now, the colt or the ass, the donkeys, here they are. Here they are tied up. Tied up. Some situations you feel like you bound up. You feel like you bound up, but you really was being on reserve. Hallelujah. You was being held back on reserve for a particular time, for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. Hallelujah. These animals were tied up, shut up inside of a gate. You know, animals, they don't just, you can't tie them up without a gate. So he's tied up and shut up, and ain't nobody ever sat on them. Here's this animal that has all this ability to be used to carry a burden. But he says, bring it to me. I got need of it. In other words, Jesus is going to come through riding on a colt. He's going to come through riding on a donkey. Hallelujah. He's coming through, and he's riding on an animal that's humble. Nobody has to break this like a wild horse. Nobody has to teach this thing how to carry Jesus. You would think it's going to buck and hee-haw and all that, but when the King of Glory comes in, it got to act right. Hallelujah. People may look at you and say, you ain't nothing but a, pardon me, but the Bible calls it an ass, so I'm going to say it. So people may look at you and say, you ain't nothing but a donkey, a jackass. They may look at you and say, you just this, whatever, and that. But when the King of Glory shows up, he says, I've already anointed you to carry the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody is going to carry the glory of God in this next season. Hallelujah. Your voice will be heard in places, hallelujah, that you never thought. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. They will come for you and loose you because the Lord has need of you. Some people have tried to bind up the people that God is calling forth. Hallelujah. But the anointing destroys the yokes. Hallelujah. And you're going to be loosed. Hallelujah. For a purpose. Loosed. For a purpose. Now, in this particular incident, with this animal, they was tied up, I believe, by the divine will of God. That's God's protection. Some things that we think is against us is for our protection. Hallelujah. But then some bondage, sometimes we're tied up, we're bound up, we're shut up and shut in and can't move because the enemy has come to bind us up. Hallelujah. Go with me in the word of God. Hallelujah. And I want to read about this woman as soon as I find where this is at in the scriptures. This woman, the Bible says that Satan bound her up. The Bible says she was bound up for 18 years. 18 years, y'all. She couldn't move. She could not help herself. This woman. And I believe that's in Luke chapter 12. Give me one moment here. This woman. The Bible says Luke chapter 13, actually. And it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. 18 years. That's a long time. Anybody that's got kids, that's how long you got to pay child support. You know how long 18 years is. If you had kids and had to pay that child support on them from the time they was born, that's a long time, 18 years. You know, at 18, you are now a full-grown adult. From the time you was born to 18, you are now a full-grown adult, and they will put you in jail if you break the law. 18 years is a long time. You go from a baby to a toddler to an adolescent to a preteen to a teenager to a full-grown adult. That's a long time. You go through a lot of stages of life in 18 years. And here's this woman. She's bound up for 18 years. She's bound up for 18 years. The devil is behind that. When you take that number 18, that's 6 times 3. You know them 3 sixes is the devil's number. He's got his signature on this. And Jesus is going to tell you what's going on with this woman. The Bible says 18 years she was bowed together or bowed together. She could not in no wise lift up herself. There are some people you can't help yourself. You've done did everything you know to do. You done did everything they tell you to do. You done tried and tried and tried, but you're still stuck. You still bowed together. You can't move. You're bound up, but God is going to loose you. Hallelujah, for your purpose. Now, this woman was bound all these years. The Bible says she could not lift herself up in no wise. In other words, she done tried every way, every type of wisdom there is. She done applied it to get out of this situation, and she could not loose herself. Some people got some habits they cannot break, but God is a habit-breaking, yoke-destroying God. Hallelujah. It says she could not in no wise lift herself up or lift up herself. She was bowed down, stuck in a position that she could not move. 18 years, almost like being paralyzed. She was just stuck. 18 long years. There's some people, we think something's wrong with them as far as their personal, you know, we think that's actually them. We can't see it's a spirit. Jesus said it was a spirit of infirmity. He did not say she had a infirmity of herself. He said it was a spirit. In other words, this was a sign to her. How she got that way and when it happened, we don't know. We don't know nothing about the woman except she was stuck for a long time. The devil bound this woman up, and she could not in no wise lift herself up. Now, for it to say that, we must know that she was trying to lift herself up. Sometimes you get frustrated because they say you ain't doing what you need to do. That's why you in this position. You're not trying. You should do it this way. And you done tried it every way, and you still bound. But today, I just believe by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, somebody, by your faith, you're going to get loose in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If nobody received that word, I receive it. Hallelujah. There's some things that, oh, glory to God, got to drop off of my life. Hallelujah. There's some bondages that got to go in the mighty name of Jesus. It starts now. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. It says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Hallelujah. This is what I love about our God. Hallelujah. He doesn't wait for the bound people to seek him out. Now, the blind man, he had to find Jesus. He heard that Jesus was coming, and he called out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Those that were sick, those that had demons, they had to run to Jesus. The man had 2,000 or so demons, the one with the legions. The man had legions of demons, yet he runs and bows at the feet of Jesus. Nobody tells him to come. But when you bound, Jesus got a call for you. Think about this for just a moment. When you bound, Jesus got a call for you. The donkey was tied up. He's had to send for it. He sent his disciples and said, go get him and bring him to me. Hallelujah. Understand the dynamics of things. God does things in patterns to show you something, to show you his character. But we talk before we understand what's going on. Sometimes we talk before we understand. We think we know. This woman was bowed together. She could not move, but she tried. Some situations are you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. And some people, if they knew in your heart, you almost gave up. You really did give up. In your heart, you really was like, Lord, just take me. Hallelujah. But God, something on the inside kept on kicking. And Jesus, he comes to her. He saw her and he calls for her. She don't ask him nothing. She don't say nothing. He makes the initiation. I'm so glad that we serve a God that will loose you for your purpose. Hallelujah. This woman had a purpose. Watch this. Jesus is going to get some glory here. He tells her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He doesn't call her by her name. We don't know her name. Her name is not important. But this story is important. He says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Wait a minute. I thought she had a spirit of infirmity. But he says it was her. She owned it. She done had it so long that it's now part of her. That's all she know. She been stuck so long, she don't know nothing but being bound. She done wrestled with this thing. The woman had to be strong, y'all. You wrestling with a spirit for 18 years? It didn't overtake her. It didn't kill her. Didn't drive her out of her mind. She didn't commit suicide. She's got a spirit of infirmity that she's wrestling with for 18 years. I know what it feels like to wrestle with a spirit, to wrestle with the principalities. I know what it feels like. I can't speak for nobody else, but I understand this woman's plight. Hallelujah. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is not just your average household devil that you can cast out and tell it to be gone. There are some spirits on different levels, but we talk because we haven't been there. But this woman, here she is, bound by a spirit of infirmity. But Jesus says, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. That word infirmity means weakness. Infirmity means weakness, or it could, in some translations, actually mean sickness. Physical ailment, but he says you are free, you are loosed from your infirmity. Hallelujah. And he laid his hand on her and immediately, watch this, immediately she was made straight. Hallelujah. And glorify God. And the ruler of the synagogue, here come the church folks, here come the folk that know all the doctrine but don't have power, here they come. Well, and they answered with indignation. They mad because that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. In other words, they just had to find something wrong with what God was doing in this woman and speak against it. They just had to. So they want to use the Sabbath, the law. They want to try to bind Jesus and this woman up under the law of God. You should have healed her on yesterday. It is basically what the man was saying. The Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite. In other words, what he's saying here, he's letting it be known. Jesus is Lord. It don't make no difference what day it is. You can't tell the Lord what he can and cannot do. Hallelujah. You can't bind the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He says, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan have bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So he's telling you, Satan bound her up, but shouldn't she be loosed? He's saying, look, you guys, if you're going to loose your ox, you're going to loose your mule, your donkey, you're going to do that on the Sabbath day. I can't loose this woman. Hallelujah. So what he's saying to her is this, or to them, what he's saying to them is this: just like you care for your ox and your mule, two particular animals he calls out. These are both what we call beasts of burdens. They can carry a heavy load. These kind of animals, they're good for work. These were before they had tractors and pulleys and all this stuff, or before they had tractors and bulldozers and stuff. They had pulley systems and stuff, and they would hook the oxen and donkeys and other, you know, those strong beasts of burdens to pull. They would pull the plow. They would pull different stuff to get the work done. These animals were strong animals. And Jesus is comparing this woman to these animals. In other words, she wasn't weak. Some people we see, we think they are weak, but we haven't wrestled with what they're wrestling with. Sometimes God will let you put your mouth on the wrong thing, and then you got to wrestle it just to see just what it really was. Hallelujah. And can't nobody set you free when you're bound but Jesus. It says he laid his hand on her. Hallelujah. He didn't send the apostles to do this one. He already knew they're going to come back and say, Lord, why couldn't we cast this out? Hallelujah. Some things is a job for Dr. Jesus. This is why we're exalting Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he tells them, he says, look, just like you loose your beasts of burdens, your strongest animals, I'm going to loose this woman. I don't believe this woman was one bit weak. I just believe she did not understand something. And most times we don't understand the same fact. Watch this. This woman wrestling for 18 years, dealing with this, trying to lift herself up and can't, got something on her that's heavier than her strength. Yet she's building more strength, pushing on it, pushing against it, lifting on it, fighting against it, but it ain't budging. Some of y'all know what that feel like. Some of y'all know what it feel like. It might be a bad habit. It might be some circumstances. It might be a person that you yoked up with. You might have married somebody that you wish you didn't, but you can't tell nobody because what they going to think. You might have got in a situation where you yoked up with somebody, you partnered up with somebody, and it just ain't right. You might have got in a situation where it just seems so tough to shake it, and now you're stuck. But there's a loosing for purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. This woman was not weak. She was not weak. The Bible says that she had an infirmity, a spirit of infirmity, but she was not weak. Like most people, a lot of people today, great people usually have great infirmities. Start with Noah. Noah was great. He did what nobody else did. Built the boat and escaped the flood, him and his, you know, three sons and their three wives and Noah's wife, so eight people escaped. Yet he had a weakness. As soon as that had ended, here's Noah getting drunk and butt naked, out of character, drunk and under the control or influence of something other than God. Hallelujah. He had a weakness. You can look at Solomon. Solomon had a weakness. He had more wisdom and money than anybody in his time. But he couldn't fight his lust. He had to have 1,000 women. David had some issues. David had a problem with anger. David would kill people when he gets mad. David would, you know, David was a bloody man. God said, David, you got too much blood on your hands to build me a house. But yet David was a man after God's heart. Okay, Jonah the prophet, he ran from God. Elijah the prophet, he was great. He fought all the false prophets alone, 450 of them, prophesying lies, prophesying under the spirit of Baal. And here's Elijah that says, I stand up against all of them. But then one woman put him on the run. Jezebel put him on the run, and he forgot who he was. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. Hallelujah. Great people sometimes have great infirmities. But it don't diminish who they are. It don't mean their strength does not exist. This woman here was strong. Jesus is comparing her to an ox and a mule. In other words, she can carry a burden. Hallelujah. But he come to set you free carrying the wrong burden. Hallelujah. Just ponder that for a minute. So here's this woman. She appears weak on the outside. But nobody knows what she's dealing with on the inside. Nobody can see the spirit that she's dealing with until Jesus shows up and looses her from this infirmity. He says Satan had her bound all these years. He saw what was going on. All the church folk, they running around her. They can't do nothing for her. They don't see what she's dealing with. Hallelujah. But Jesus says she's going to be loosed for her purpose. Hallelujah. Her purpose was for God to get the glory. If you keep reading that, the Bible says that Jesus set them straight and put all his enemies to shame. They had to shut up after that. At least for a season, they had to get quiet. We find them later on, they back talking that craziness about the Sabbath because they could not find anything else against him. So they had to look for something. This is just like in Daniel's day. They couldn't find anything against Daniel. Daniel was of an excellent spirit, so they said if we're going to do anything, it's got to be according to the law of his God. Sometimes people will try to use the word to bind you up, but you can't bind the Holy Ghost. The anointing destroys the yokes. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. So this woman, she's there. He tells her it's her infirmity. Okay? She's got a weakness. But she's a great woman. Watch this now. This woman had all this strength, but what she did not know was the strength of God. She knew her strength, and she had come to the end of it, and she couldn't do nothing else. She couldn't. It don't make no difference who came and said anything to her. She wasn't getting free until Jesus himself showed up. Some situations, they can propylize you up and down. You can give all your money, be like the woman with the issue of blood, gave all her money and still bleeding for 12 years. There's an appointed time for some things. This is why I always preach faith and patience. Some folk got a whole lot of faith. They ain't got no patience. So a lot of what they're getting is not from God. Just like Abraham got that first son, God didn't give it to him. He went and got that. Some stuff, it ain't of God. You can put God's stickers all over it. Put a God label all over it because your faith got it. But later on, it's going to mock your promise, and we're going to know whether it was God or whether it was flesh. My God today. Selah. Hallelujah. Now, this woman, she could not get free until Jesus came to where she was. But what I love about it, it says when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, be thou loose. She had to make her way to Jesus after hearing his voice. She had to do something. This woman couldn't, although she could not lift herself up, she could walk. She could make her way to Jesus some kind of way, humped over, bent over, bowed together, whatever. She still moved enough to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. She wasn't like the man at the pool. We're going to talk about him a little bit too, if the Lord allows and time permits. So she makes her way to Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to make your way to Jesus in the spirit. You got to break out and give God a praise you ain't never gave him before. You got to give God some worship. You got to lay out on your face. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to turn down that plate. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to cut some people off. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to forget what you think you know. Hallelujah. And go for the gusto. Hallelujah. Because he's calling you to come to him, Jesus. Hallelujah. So there's this woman. She makes it to Jesus, and then he sets her free with his word. Hallelujah. But he completes the job. He lays his hands on her. A lot of the people, he tells them when they come, he says, look, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. This woman didn't need to be made whole. There's a difference between needing to be made whole. Sometimes we're diagnosing people wrong. We're misapplying we're applying the wrong medicine. Hallelujah. We're trying to make people whole who ain't broken. Hallelujah. We're trying to make people whole who are bound. They don't need to be made whole. They need to be set free. They need to be loosed. Hallelujah. They're not broken. She's not like the woman with the issue of blood. There's no blood here. She's not bleeding. She's not sick. She's strong, but yet she's weak. How can you be strong and weak? Paul says, when I'm weak, yet I'm strong. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. God is getting the glory. It's all about purpose. Hallelujah. This woman understood her purpose. Hallelujah. She knew the voice of the master, the Lord. He calls her. She gets free. We don't read no more about her after that. We don't know what happened with her after that. It don't make no difference. She got free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he tells her, you are loose from your infirmity. Praise God. She had to wait. No matter how long she was bound, she couldn't free herself. The folk that was talking and coming around, I'm sure people tried to help her. Nobody could get this woman loosed until Jesus showed up. Some situations, let me tell you something, you are strong. You ain't weak. You listening to me? You've been dealing with something for a long time. It don't seem like it's going to change. They don't seem like they understand. Oh, you bound up and people trying to bind you even more, and it just don't seem to change. But God wants you to know you're not weak. You're not weak one bit. You like an ox and a mule. This is why he compared this woman to the ox and the mule. You're just like that, and you're going to be loosed. But watch this. You're not weak. You just need God's strength. See, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. See, that's a word we don't like. We don't like to wait, especially if you're prophetic. Prophetic people are some of the most impatient people on the planet, if we be honest. And the reason is, you can see so far down the road that you see what's coming, and you either want to hurry up and get what you want before that happens, if it's a bad thing coming, or if it's a good thing, you're ready for it to be done already. But it don't make no difference how far down the road you see, you still live in the now. Yes, sometimes your faith can bring it in, and sometimes you can't do nothing but wait. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't even mention this woman's faith. This miracle had nothing really to do with her faith. He never says, your faith did anything for you. Her feet did it for her. I'm going to say that again. Her feet did it for her. Why? Because he told her, come here, and she walked over there. Hallelujah. Now, some things you can believe God for, and it still ain't going to happen until he's ready for it to happen. I know some people don't agree with that, but ask Brother Abraham. Ask Brother Job. Hallelujah. Ask Brother Daniel. Ask Brother Jeremiah, who told him, he said, after 70 years, God's going to bring you out of the bondage or the captivity that he put the people in. He put them in that Babylonian captivity for a certain number of years. Job says, my change will come at the appointed time. You know, the last couple of weeks I've been preaching about time, appointed time, some things. Now, some things you can be like David. Hey, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and I'm going to kill this uncircumcised giant Philistine. By his faith, he brought his present or his future into his present. But even in doing that, he was anointed to be king. The people were singing his praises, but David still had to go to war before he sat upon anybody's throne. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. And his plan for your life, that is what will stand. Not what they say, not what you think, but what did God speak? That's what shall be. Hallelujah. Now, praise be unto God. I want to talk about another person real quick. Mark chapter 5, verse 2 says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Here we go again with spirits. See, we're born into this world, and these spirits are assigned to us before we even know anything. And sometimes we're surrounded by people that don't even know how to deal with the spirits that we got to deal with. Hallelujah. But we sure enough talk about it. But Lord, God is sending, I just believe with all my heart, he's sending an anointing to loose some people today. Hallelujah. It says he had his dwelling among the tombs. He lived in the graveyard. In other words, he hung around death. And no man could bind him. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. This man got an unclean spirit. And listen what it says. It says, no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. See, I understood something about this. This man's got an unclean spirit. They couldn't cast it out, so they wanted to bind the person up. Sometimes people got issues. They got problems. They need deliverance, but we want to bind them up. We want to put heavy burdens upon them. We want to get them so caught up in church work, so caught up in programs and this, that, and the other, instead of freeing the person from their infirmity like Jesus did with this woman. We'd rather bind people up and try to put chains on them. He's already bound. He's already bound by an evil spirit. But Jesus sees this man and sets him free. I'm not going to read too much more about that man, but I want to say this. Go with me to Matthew 23. Jesus begins to tell the Pharisees. He gets in their face and he says, he tells his disciples, he tells them about the Pharisees. We know he'd already said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees and all these people. He says, beware of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees. And he basically saying it's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy will keep you bound for a long time. Let me say that again. Hypocrisy will keep a person bound up, tied up for a long time. Because what happens is, just like this man who was in the tombs, they wanted to put chains and fetters and all kind of extra stuff on him to try to hold him in that position. Just, we can't handle it. We can't fix it. We can't heal him. We can't cast it out. So we're just going to bind him up. We're going to find a whole lot of work for him to do. But we're going to find a whole lot of church programs. We're going to try to keep you busy, buried under Satan's yoke, B-U-S-Y. We're going to try to keep you caught up in this, that, and the other, because we can't get you free. But I thank God that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, not some, not the ones you like, but the Bible says to break every chain. But we're going to go past breaking chains and get into this talking about the yoke-destroying anointing. Hallelujah. Jesus, Matthew 23, he says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. He says, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne to lay on the, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's hypocrisy. In other words, we can't tell you to do it, and we're not going to do it. This is why God is, this is why right now the changing of the guard is going on. This is why some people are being taken down and others are being raised up, because people are sick of it. People are not, and God is sick of it. People are being told to do things by a leadership structure that won't do it themselves. In order to lead means to go before. That means you go first. That means whatever you got to go through, I should be. Nah, it doesn't mean you got to go through everything the people going through, but to some extent. See, David had to go. I'm keep going back to David. He had to fight before he could sit on the throne. Just ponder that for a minute. He couldn't just sit there and be king and be cute and everybody just bow and do what David say. No, he had to get out there and prove himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells him, he says, look, don't be like the Pharisees. These were the rulers, the ruling class people in Israel. They were rulers in the religious organizations. And they would tell the people, they would use the law of God to bind people up to do what they wanted them to do. So they would get money. The Bible says that the trespass offering and the sin offering don't bring it into the house of the Lord, but it goes to the priests. It said it goes to the priest. In other words, if you make people feel like filthy, nasty sinners bad enough, they feel like, well, if I just keep giving a sin offering, every time I sin, I give a trespass offering. Every time I trespass, then God will forgive me. This is what was going on. And these people were getting filthy rich, the spirit of covetousness. But there was no real leadership. And God, this is why Jesus turned the tables over in the temple and said, you turn this place to a den of thieves. He said, but this is a house of prayer. See, if prayer goes on, if there's enough prayer going on, then the Holy Spirit will start to move. People will start getting loosed. People will start finding out their purpose. People will start seeing who they really are. Hallelujah. My God today. He says, you bind heavy burdens on men's shoulders. Jesus told his apostles, he said, look, observe what they say. Because the law that they was giving them was God's word. He says, go and do what they're telling you, but don't you do as they are. Don't you be like them. In other words, keep the word of God. I know we're not under the law of Moses anymore, so will you keep the law of the Spirit now that we are in Christ Jesus? Now that we are born again of the Spirit, then you got to keep the law of the Spirit. He will direct you which way to go. He that have ears, let him hear. Hallelujah. So he said, look, don't be as them. Don't be as those that speak but don't do. He says, if you're going to do it, then do it as an example. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting loosed as you hear this today. I just believe, God, that you are. Hallelujah. Where there's a lack of anointing, there is no lack of oppression. This is where oppressing comes in at, because there's no anointing. People are listening and looking for the anointing. Hallelujah. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. See, these people were yoking people up and binding them up under the old law and telling them, you need to do it this way, do that, do this. But they didn't have anything for them. They couldn't do anything for them. They couldn't give them life. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, hey, don't you be like that. Go to, it's in Isaiah, one moment here, in the book of Isaiah, somewhere, I'm not even going to try to read this, but he says the anointing destroys the yoke and it removes the heavy burden. Hallelujah. Jesus begins to tell the people in Matthew 11 and 28, he says, look, come unto me, all ye that labor and are weary, heavy laden. He says, look, I'll give you rest. Sometimes we're tired. We won't admit that we're tired because we got to pretend to be strong. We don't want people to say we ain't this, that, and the other. But God already knows. He says, look, come unto me, and I will give you rest, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Hallelujah. Then he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You still got a yoke. You still got a burden, but now you're yoked up with him. Now your burden to carry is his two commandments. He says his commandments are not grievous. But man will put too much on you. Man will tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. You need to serve like this, serve like that. Be an armor bearer, clean the church, do this, that. They're trying to break your spirit. I know people got to be proven, but sometimes we can be like Rehoboam. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Solomon was a great oppressor. This is something that's not really in biblical history. You got to study the scriptures to understand. Solomon became an oppressor. Okay, and the people got tired because it was too much that he was putting on the people. So, and this is why the kingdom was split. And this is why we're seeing church splits. This is why we're seeing people go and do this, that, and the other. This is why there's no forward movement, because oppression. Solomon was an oppressor. Then his son became king. And he sought the wisdom of the older saints, and they told him, look, don't do it like that. Don't be like this. Be kind to the people, and they'll serve you for good. If you treat the people right, they'll treat you back right for a long time. But if you try to oppress them, make them do it your way, do what you say, all this and that and the other, he said, look, you're going to wear the people out or whatever. The young folks said, uh-uh, make it even harder on them. And this man was a fool, and he made it harder on the people. And this is why there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of their life, because he did not listen to sound wisdom. He wanted to be a king ruler, but he didn't want to be a king servant. See, David was a servant. Saul's trying to kill him. He's yet saying, I'll serve you. You want me to play the harp? I'll play skillfully. I don't care nothing about you not liking me. I don't care nothing about you throwing a javelin at me. I'm going to do what is pleasing and honorable unto my God. Hallelujah. But Solomon has a little bit different. You know, he's got the spirit of these strange women. He's done bowed to their gods. Now there's a little bit of oppression. And then his son does a whole lot of oppression. Where there's no anointing, bondage is sure to follow. But when the anointing shows up, the bondage is broken. Hallelujah. When the anointing shows up, he says, listen, it destroys the yoke. It destroys the yoke, the thing that's tying you together to something that you ought not be tied to and bound to. He says, the anointing is going to destroy that. Hallelujah. He says, not only will it destroy the yoke, but it'll. He says, not only will it destroy the yoke, but it will remove the heavy burden. What are you carrying today that God wants to remove from off your shoulders, off your back? Who are you carrying that God wants to remove off your shoulders and off your back? The only thing we need to carry is the King of Glory. We need to carry the glory. Hallelujah. An ox or a donkey is a strong animal, but he only had one assignment. He was tied up, and all he had to do was carry Jesus through the city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless your mighty name. Hallelujah. We thank you for an anointing that destroys the yokes, Lord God. Let it manifest this day, this moment, hallelujah, in our homes, Lord God. Let us say yes to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Lord God. Just break out on the inside of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. As we sit and wait, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your word says they were all assembled together in one place, Lord God, on one accord, Lord God. And they were sitting. They weren't doing anything, just waiting. They were sitting and they were waiting and being still. Hallelujah. And your glory fill the house, Lord God. I pray that you will fill our spirits. I pray that you will fill our churches. I pray that you will move on this line and everybody listening, that you will fill our homes. Hallelujah. Fill our bellies, fill our minds with your spirit, with your life, with your word, Lord God, until we come out different, Lord. We don't say we leave in different. We actually prove it, Lord God. Hallelujah. That everybody knows it, Lord God. When we step out, our voice is different. Our look is different. Our speech is different. Our mannerism is different. Our everything has changed. Hallelujah. Let it be so, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.